Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome to the second hour of your Sunday Spin. Immigration remains a major issue for the president. He acknowledged his administration has looked at shipping migrants in the country who are here illegally to so-called sanctuary cities, and Chicago is one, to try to stir up crime and move Democrats on the issue. Trump also dumped his Homeland Security Secretary and others because he says they weren't tough enough. But he says he's not cleaning house.
Well, I never said I'm cleaning house. I don't know who came up with that expression. We have a lot of great people over there. We have bad laws. We have a judge that just ruled incredibly that he doesn't want people staying in Mexico. Figure that one out. Nobody can believe these decisions we're getting from the Ninth Circuit. It's a disgrace. And so we're fighting the bad laws, the bad things that are coming out of Congress. You have a Democrat Congress that's obstructing. You talk about obstruction, the greatest obstruction anyone's ever seen. All they have to do is spend 20 minutes and they can fix this whole problem. We have the worst laws of any country anywhere in the world.
Now, as for the border, Trump has said more U.S. military may be called in, but he cautioned that the U.S. military really can't act tough against migrants like those, like military from another country could act.
And if you don't have a wall, and they all agree, you don't need drones. Drones, wonderful to have drones. But you don't have a wall, it's never going to happen. It's all never going to happen. Your border people are fantastic, Border Patrol. Your military, fantastic. I'm going to have to call up more military. But our military, don't forget, can't act like a military would act. Because if they got a little rough, everybody would go crazy. So our military can't act like they would normally act, or like, in let's say, another military from another country would act.
And that's the President of the United States. We're going to bring things more locally now, and joining me now here in the Allstate Skyline studio is Robert Rader, president of the Chicago Federation of Labor. Bob, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Rick. You don't want to talk about Trump with me? I'd love talking about Donald Trump.
I'm sure you would, but I mean, there's a lot of things to talk about closer to home that you guys are part of.
Really? I'm just so captivated by the view up here that I forgot everything that's going on in the city right now.
You know, there's probably, this could be like a safe haven place. There's probably a lot of people like to come up here and not worry about the problems in the city of Chicago.
Sitting here with a Tribune reporter in the WGN studios, and this is my happy place.
You're getting a nosebleed.
Hey, this is great. Thank you for having me on.
No, thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah.
I want to start with real local and the issue of workplace scheduling. And, you know, this has been talked about and debated and massaged, whatever, for over a year. And here it's supposed to have come to a vote in the council last week, and due to lack of a quorum, it doesn't go anywhere. And now it's going to be an issue before the new city council. Could you just start out, one, just kind of lay out the issue from your perspective and where you see things going now?
Well, I think this Fair Work Week ordinance that was moving before city council is going to be an incredible opportunity to really be one of the most important safeguards, I think, that we've been able to, you know, push and hopefully acquire for the workforce here in Chicago in recent memory. You know, it's on the heels of raising the minimum wage and, you know, passing this earned sick leave ordinance that we did a few years ago. And this I see as like, you know, the triple crown, as it were, of workforce protections. So, you know, it came before the city council finally, or not the city council, but the workforce committee, and it was amazing. It was amazing. Only in Chicago can you build to such a crescendo, and then all of a sudden not have enough aldermen to keep the committee meeting going. It's shocking how everyone just disappears on you.
So what does this do?
So
in the version that you would like to
see? Yeah, well, I mean, we're going to go into a new city council, Rick, that I think is going to be even more progressive than the last city council. So I'm not sure which version we're talking about, because I think that we're going to probably be looking at a version that's closer to what our original version was.
So let's start there.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, here's where we're starting out. If you looked at the original version, this was going to be a very broad law that helped create predictive scheduling for the workers here in Chicago. Things like 14 days advance notice of your schedule, minimums on time off between shifts, predictability pay, where if the employer makes a change to your shift within the window, that you would get a 1 hour, like a 1 hour
differential.
So you can so that way it holds everyone accountable to scheduling. Now, if you look at take my mom for instance, she worked in healthcare her entire career, and I have a lot of family that have worked in healthcare. If you look at the scheduling chaos people have to deal with in healthcare, and then you hear the healthcare employers come back and say, well, we have a lot, people work here at our company forever. I'm like, well, yeah, because if they leave your hospital and go down the street, it doesn't get any better, right? People have grown accustomed to this chaotic scheduling, oppressive scheduling, and it's not just one industry that this is a problem with, it's several. So we're going to be looking at, we spent a lot of time. I personally spent a lot of time the last couple of weeks talking through this issue with people on the employer side and also people on my side to come up with a compromise ordinance that we had ready to go on Monday. Right? I think it was respectful. Good public policy gets made when everybody gets to the table. Right? But dynamics change. Right? So we're talking about now going into the next city council, starting in May. I'm hoping we're going to have something on fair scheduling done by the end of summer, beginning of fall.
And again, going back to more towards the original proposal than what you had presented on Monday.
Well, I think so, because one, and it's to get the triple crown here of workplace protections. I don't think it's going to depend even so much on us. This new city council, these are people who not only ran on issues like Fair Work Week and workforce protections, they live it and breathe it, right? It's to some extent, we're going to have to hit that reset button and go back to the original ordinance, because I think that's where the aldermen may be at.
Even if you don't, that's where they're coming from.
It's great. It's amazing. If you look at this next city council, you're going to have a lot of folks who are progressive. They talk about the quote unquote democratic socialists who are going to be in there. And, I have a lot of fondness and admiration for all these folks. It's going to be an interesting day in Chicago.
So you mentioned this workplace scheduling would be the triple crown. Is there a fourth component? What's next?
Well,
as far as city ordinance,
We're going to have to take a look at that. If you look at Star Wars, Rick, there was the first trilogy, the second
Star
trilogy,
Wars.
And the third trilogy.
The first three I watched. After that, I gave up.
I think after this, we have two more trilogies to go, and then we can do like what Disney said here the other day. We'll take a pause, and then we'll get into the next trilogy.
Labor law as Star Wars. There you go.
Sunday morning. Hey, but seriously, I'm very excited about this. And I talk about this new city council and the opportunities it presents. Here's why people are getting elected here in Chicago to put these types of policies forward. This is where the public's at. Let's make no mistake about it. And I'm not just talking about one segment of the city. These policies, workplace protections, they are some of the best polling issues that you're going to have in any campaign, because it cuts right to people's pocketbook and their quality of life. Scheduling is a huge issue for low-wage workers, but people that are middle-income and higher-income people, they deal with this nonsense too. Everyone can wrap their head around the idea of predictability in their schedule, and they, and when they see provisions around predictability pay and having the ability to have a window of time to, you know, get their schedules set, they're like, absolutely, because it cuts the fundamental issue of fairness. And before I, you know, before we pivot out of this, I really just want to also say that I don't want to make it seem like what happened on Monday with this ordinance getting kicked was in any way a reflection on some of the people that we did negotiate with from the employer community that wanted to really look at this issue and come to resolution on it. There were several people from the employer community that wanted to get this thing done. And there was even a push, you know, after the committee failed to come up with quorum to figure out a way to still get this thing to come
before the full council,
before this full council.
Right.
And I, you know, it's, I also have to say that I would have been very happy to get this done before this council, because we would have the opportunity to come back and amend it. But we'll just get the whole thing done next time. We'll have less amendments going in to the next 2 years, right?
We're speaking to Robert Reeder. He's the president of the Chicago Federation of Labor. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Skyline studio with Robert Reeder, president of the Chicago Federation of Labor. We were talking about the workplace scheduling ordinance in the city of Chicago, but I want to broaden the discussion out to labor issues going on down in Springfield. The governor last week signing legislation to ban local right to work zones. That was an issue that was pushed by previous Republican Governor Bruce Rauner, Governor Pritzker signing that ban. And there's always been a question of legality regarding that anyway, of whether local communities or counties could set up zones that were exempt from collective bargaining type agreements and requirements.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to say right off the bat, anytime you have this discussion, is right to work does not mean right to work. Right to work's a law that impacts a union's ability to represent its members, because it takes a shot at labor through equity and requires the union to represent people who don't either pay dues or pay a user fee, essentially, for the representation they receive. It's completely, you know, right to work is completely an anti-Republican issue. So if there's any Republicans out there that are big right to work proponents, complete phonies.
Well, the previous governor was one.
Well, I mean, do I have to say that he was a complete phony? Because
no.
It had nothing to do with, you know, if he was standing on his Republican principles, he wouldn't have moved and been so virulently supportive of a of right to work, because it's completely goes against the rules and of the ability of freedom to contract. But this governor J.B. Pritzker has been amazing at giving workers a voice and protecting workers. I mean, this guy's only been in office for 4 months, going on 5 months, and he's just doing such a great job of getting to the issues that people are actually concerned about. Right, we raised the minimum wage for people in labor. We're taking a strike against these right to work zones. Something that was, when it was, you're right, the legality of it has been questionable from day one. But now that the state has weighed in, I think it becomes clear that you can't have these right to work zones here in Illinois.
With some of the concerns of labor and passage of a pro-labor agenda so far in Springfield. But one of the big things, and I was talking about this in the previous segment with Representative Zalewski, was the issue of a capital bill, which I know is something that labor would love to see. It's a jobs bill is what it is. But, you know, it's part of all of the noise at the end of session. How do you fund it? How do you make it work? I mean, where are we on that?
Well, I would say that the capital bill isn't just a jobs bill. It is, and it's huge, and it's important. but the capital bill is also a bill for the everyday people of Illinois. So there's a lot of folks who live and work on the I-80 corridor, right? You know, that's for some, that's the dividing line between north and south of
upstate and downstate.
Yeah, right. But there's a bridge. I don't know if you're familiar with this bridge that goes over the Des Plaines River through Joliet. And it's one of the lowest rated bridges, I think, in the country, definitely in the state. And the safety of this bridge has been scrutinized and looked at to the point where, you know, people like me and my family, we figure out ways to go around this bridge all the time. I have a lot of family who live in that south suburban I-80 corridor. When you talk about roads and bridges, we want to build them. We want to build them like crazy. But the people we represent also drive on these roads and bridges. And God help us if we don't have, you know, if hopefully we don't have a disaster like they've had in other states with bridges. But it also is causes huge traffic problems, right? When you have state highways that are littered with potholes that are constantly undergoing patchwork, which is way more disruptive than taking down a lane and just redoing one lane at a time and getting a highway up and going. It has an incredible impact to the quality of life for people who live here in Illinois.
So where are we on this in Springfield?
I mean, I think the urgency is there. I think people are feeling it, but we have to reconcile, I think, down in Springfield, how we're going to fund both the horizontal infrastructure and also the vertical infrastructure, which is as important and has been neglected probably even longer than roads and bridges to some extent.
And when you say that, you're talking about buildings and schools and public university projects, those kinds of things that are non-transportation related.
Right, absolutely. So you're looking at our state universities, you're looking at modernizing these buildings, you're looking at providing a safe environment not only for the people who work in those buildings and facilities, but also for the people who are served by those buildings and facilities, which are the citizens of the state of Illinois.
That's Robert Reeder. He's the president of the Chicago Federation of Labor. Thank you so much for coming in studio this morning.
Thanks, Rick. It was a lot of fun.
We'll be back with more right after this.